This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations, so make your fantasy draft party a reality at Hooters. Book your fantasy party online at football.hooters.com. Get a free CBS Sports draft kit along with $200 in Hooters coupons for the entire season. Remember, Hooters also offers you daily lunch specials starting at just $6. And remember, you can go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99 all day, every day. Find your location at originalhooters.com. We introduced Hooters as the new presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast earlier in the week. If you're saying, what do you mean earlier in the week? You only do a podcast here, posted every Friday. Well, that's what we did for the previous year. Thanks to all of your attention, downloading and paying attention to the podcast, and to the new presenting sponsor in Hooters, we now offer twice weekly podcasts. One will post on Monday, and we will still post a podcast every Friday. All right, so let's get to it. I think I hit on five notes last week. We were ahead of the curve in talking about some things like Sammy Watkins and Le'Veon Bell. So let's move on to some new things. Let's start with Jarvis Landry. I think we all know, whether you play fantasy or not, or you're just a fan of the Miami Dolphins, or you follow the AFC East, you know Jarvis Landry has been a target monster for the Miami Dolphins. Doesn't drop many balls, very consistent, great third down target. The target volume alone merits him potentially being in your starting lineup almost on an every week basis. Now, last year, we saw really for the first time Jarvis Landry's numbers start to drop. And we're now getting even more of a sense going forward that something is not right with Jarvis Landry and the Miami Dolphins. The latest example was the owner of the Miami Dolphins talking about how there was no real need for a contract extension as it related to Jarvis Landry, which increases the sentiment that Adam Gase, head coach and the offensive brain behind these Miami Dolphins, really doesn't think he needs Jarvis Landry going forward. So he has him this year, and the sort of sense on this is, yeah, we'll be fine without him. They're not coming out and saying that, but that certainly is the impression they're giving us. And I would sense that that's the impression that Jarvis Landry and his agent are getting. I think the Dolphins and Adam Gase are taking Jarvis Landry for granted, unless there's something more beneath the surface here that merits that Landry isn't someone that they feel they can count on going forward. If for whatever reason, the Dolphins look at Jarvis Landry and say, well, he's not a game breaker. He's not someone who gets us in the end zone. He's a possession receiver. He catches balls you throw to him, and he's productive. I don't really see what the issue is here. And if Adam Gase's offensive system can't use a guy like Jarvis Landry right, then the problem is Adam Gase's system and not Jarvis Landry. Good managers or coaches adjust to their personnel. Now, I'm acknowledging that, and you may have forgotten this, the Dolphins actually made the playoffs last year, and they made the playoffs even after their starting quarterback was injured in December, and then again took a huge hit in the AFC wildcard game, or as I call it, the first round game, at the Pittsburgh Steelers before coming back in. Now there are a lot of questions about why he came back in, or should he have come back in. So I don't really know what the issue is here. I just think it's a stubbornness, or maybe it's Jarvis Landry saying to the Dolphins, you know, hey, I can do more. Why don't you use me more? Why don't you pay me more? I don't know that at this point how I feel about Landry from a fantasy standpoint going into a season-long draft. On one hand, you could say, well, for the most part, he's always been productive. He gets a lot of targets. And who else is going to get the ball thrown their way in Miami? The Dolphins have made some nice moves in free agency. They may have resuscitated the career of a player who, like many, go to Jacksonville and they go there to have their careers die. That's one option. Certainly, Jay Ajayi busting 200-yard rushing games, not once, not twice, but three times in last season, lends itself to running the ball more. So you could make the argument, well, Landry's going to go out and he's going to have a career year. It just feels like the Dolphins almost don't want to do what they can do so he can have a career year. And then walk, make big money somewhere else. I may have this wrong, where the Dolphins might be like, look, we're fine with it. We're going to throw him 140 balls, and we hope he catches 140 of them. And if he breaks the bank in free agency, then it is from Jarvis Landry. Knowing Jarvis Landry is tight with Odell Beckham Jr., who we know is thinks highly of himself. That doesn't mean that Jarvis Landry does. Something's going on here. And until I have a better read on it, I'm not sure that I'm interested in drafting Jarvis Landry. He may become a player that I do a wait and see on, and then in a season-long league, if someone wants to trade him to me, if I know he's putting up huge numbers, great. Or I get an opportunity where his owner is looking to make a move or needs something in another area, or I use Jarvis Landry in daily fantasy once I feel firmly that Landry is going to be productive and whatever the issues between him and the Dolphins have been pushed aside, at least for the 2017 season. Let's talk about another odd situation, and that's Carlos Hyde, running back in San Francisco. Ever since John Lynch was hired as general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, the consistent rhetoric out of the Niners on Carlos Hyde seems to have to look to the future, and Hyde isn't going to be a part of it, right or wrong. Then, just within the last 24 hours or so, compliments about Carlos Hyde. Most notably, talking about his weight and how he weighed in at 228 pounds, allegedly the lightest he's been since high school. This reminds me of, remember a couple of podcasts back when I couldn't remember Jeremy Hill's name with the Cincinnati Bengals. That was my error. And we had a lot of rhetoric about what Joe Mixon was going to mean in Cincinnati. And then sort of, it was almost as if Marvin Lewis, you're really making it sound like Jeremy Hill has no future here. So you better go say something nice about Jeremy Hill, whether you mean it or not. It almost feels that way in San Francisco now, that John Lynch is starting the positive spin on Carlos Hyde, either because of the impression that the organization gave about Carlos Hyde and how he doesn't seem like he's a running back spiral they've been on since Jim Harbaugh left, or John Lynch is building up Carlos Hyde to trade him. And I know we don't have a lot of training camp preseason type deals, but John Lynch has never been a general manager before, so he may do some things that haven't necessarily been done. One of them might be that John Lynch is simply going to continue to look at other NFL team running back depth charts. And if a team is dissatisfied with their situation or has a key injury at number one on the depth chart in a year where they feel they can contend, John Lynch feels he can move Carlos Hyde to that team and get some future draft picks. That's what this feels like to me. That the Niners are not talking up Carlos Hyde because it means something for Carlos Hyde in a 49er uniform short-term and long-term. It seems like a reaction to what they've already said about him, and now they want to build him up a little bit. Whether they need to do it because they want to trade him, or they need to do it to keep Carlos Hyde interested in at least what they're doing right now. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations, and for those of you listening outside the Tampa Bay area, I'm sure you know where your favorite Hooters is. Now, you can find your location at originalhooters.com. Just remember, Hooters is the original wing joint since 1983. And make your fantasy draft party a reality at Hooters. Book your fantasy party online at football.hooters.com. Get a free CBS Sports draft kit along with $200 in Hooters coupons for the entire season. And remember, $15 gets you a bucket of 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles. That's 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles for just $15 per bucket. I'd like to thank Hooters for being the new presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And they are a big reason why we have expanded to 2 podcasts a week. Let's continue with almost a weekly conversation about the Cleveland Browns. And this involves DeShone Kizer, where DeShone Kizer reportedly already has put himself in a position to win the number one quarterback job in Cleveland. Now, what does this mean from a fantasy standpoint? Probably not a lot, but let's just look at it. It would make sense that as long as Kizer doesn't have a bad off-field or on-field, you know, a misstep, that they want to put the ball in his hands, try to find someone who the fans and the team can get excited about, and from a fantasy standpoint, all you want to know is who the number one quarterbacks are. Not a single one of you, not even a homer for the Cleveland Browns, is going to draft in a season-long league Cody Kessler or DeShone Kizer or both and play them as your number one quarterback. DeShone Kizer comes into play as a potential backup stash or in a two-quarterback league. And considering the Browns are often playing from behind, if Kizer, in fact, is the number one quarterback, Kizer may be in a position to throw the ball a lot. Keeping in mind, Isaiah Crowell is a decent running back, and at least the talk all offseason was Crowell would get even more work. And we explored on the podcast earlier this week the backing that Crowell may get more work because there's talk that Duke Johnson could be getting a majority of his reps now at the wide receiver position. So, as it relates to the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation, which generally is on nobody's fantasy radar, just be thinking DeShone Kizer until further notice. Probably doesn't mean anything in your season-long league unless you're in a two-quarterback league. But it may mean something for the waiver wire, week 1, week 2, week 3, depending on when Kizer plays, depending on when your bye week is for your starting quarterback, depending on what sort of quarterbacks go down injury-wise and how you may be affected. Or, in a daily game, once Kizer has established himself as the number one quarterback, and he looks like he's in a matchup where he's going to have to throw the ball 35, 40 times, and he has shown the ability to do that and complete 25 or 30 passes for the right amount of yardage and a couple of touchdowns. Maybe you play him in a daily game at a bargain price. That's the situation with DeShone Kizer, and that's your weekly update on the Cleveland Browns. Jordan Reed is one of those players that I just don't touch in a season-long fantasy league because he's injured too much. Already, Jay Gruden is talking about the ankle soreness that Jordan Reed is suffering and says it's an overcompensation from his more recent toe issue. It's still a health issue with Jordan Reed, who, when healthy, is almost as productive as Rob Gronkowski. Ironically, Rob Gronkowski doesn't seem to be healthy either. But Gronk produces more than Reed, has a higher profile than Reed, and generally plays in more games than Reed. Last year, Reed might have gotten the edge by, I don't know, two or three. But just the fact that we're talking about one injury because he's overcompensating for another just speaks to the fact that you can't trust Jordan Reed on a week-to-week basis. Final note relates to the Carolina Panthers and the talk about how they are changing their offensive scheme. And there are a lot of reasons for this. Going to more of a short, quick passing game. The reason most talked about is to keep Cam Newton from being beaten up. He and Andrew Luck have probably taken the most punishment of any quarterbacks in the National Football League over the past few years. So by Cam Newton not standing in the pocket or rolling out of the pocket or running as much downfield, he doesn't take as much in the way of physical abuse. So to get him in a 3 to 5 step drop, release the football, quick passing game, would alleviate that. Okay, there are other reasons, though, Carolina is doing this. One, this may be a knee-jerk reaction off how the bottom fell out of this team last year, a year after they went to the Super Bowl. Another reason is Ted Ginn is gone, and prior to him, Steve Smith was gone. These were the big downfield deep threats for the Carolina Panthers. They're not there anymore. So why have an offense based on throwing the deep ball if you don't have wide receivers who can get out there and get it? Even Devin Funchess is more of a, I don't know how you would describe him. I think Devin Funchess is more of a square in type wide receiver. He's certainly a threat in the red zone. Greg Olsen can really run with the ball after the catch, but Olsen is a tight end who has the versatility to play in virtually any system. If you want to get Olsen the ball after a 3-step drop, he's probably open. If you want to let Cam drop back, scan his other options, then, hey, Greg Olsen is open 22 yards down the field, and Cam Newton often has found him. So Olsen can fit either way. And then you have Christian McCaffrey, who clearly is someone that the Panthers want to utilize catching balls out of the backfield. And in the previous system, Cam Newton seemed very unwilling to check down and throw the ball to running backs out of the backfield by changing the system and making the play call almost designed for Cam Newton to do these things with a quote-unquote running back who might be more productive catching the ball out of the backfield than running it between the tackles. All of it sort of adds up. I'm skeptical it's going to work. I understand all the reasons they're doing it. I'm just skeptical it's going to work, and it will factor in, for me, downgrading a number of Carolina Panthers as it relates to where I project them on an overall draft board. I still think Olsen is going to be one of the more productive tight ends in the National Football League. But based on the shift of offensive philosophy and how we don't really have anything to go on, and someone in your season-long draft is going to overvalue McCaffrey, excuse me, and they're going to pick him higher than you would anyway, so that will resolve itself. All right, thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, thanks to our new presenting sponsor, Hooters, we're with you every Monday and every Friday now, all the way through the Super Bowl. You can find us here at joebucksfan.com and, of course, on iTunes. Talk to you next time.